It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.
It's been a while. This is fun. Welcome back to the Straight Up Texas podcast, presented by our friends at Whataburger. I'm your host, Hannah Wing. We haven't had an episode in quite some time. There's been a lot of road travel going on. Oh, and the Rangers also won the World Series. So we've had a lot going on, but are so excited to be back with you today. We have a really special episode in store that we'll get to in a second, but I am so excited to be back with my co-host, Jared Sandler. But before we get started, just a reminder to subscribe, rate, and review the podcast for a chance to be entered to win a Nathaniel Lowe autographed baseball and a Whataburger prize pack. Who do we have on the show with us today?
I don't know who these guys are.
I've never seen them before. I'm sure you haven't either.
I think we just found two random fans who won a contest to be on the podcast. Oh, no. That's Eric Nadel and Matt Hicks. Wow.
I'm Eric from Dallas. I'm a longtime listener.
First time caller, huh? Matt's the guy who calls in every postgame show and complains about. I'm just kidding. Hannah, we were talking before. You had mentioned that they were our first guests, and I totally forgot about that because it seems like forever ago. But these are the two guys I start and end my day with, it seems like. And now that we're in off-season mode, it's only fitting that we're doing the same. It's awesome having you guys on, Eric and Matt.
Thanks for inviting us back. I figured we had screwed up so badly the first time that that was it. We weren't coming back.
When you win a World Series, then anything goes.
Yeah, and I promise I won't cry this time.
Oh, my gosh, I forgot about that. I totally forgot. Wow. But may not, we'll all cry about the World Series win because we just have a lot to celebrate this episode.
No happy crying in podcasts.
So can I just ask, I guess, all of you guys a question? It is Wednesday, November 8th. We are a week out, right? We are almost a full week because I guess technically that would be later on this evening. We're having this conversation in the morning, but just from a date standpoint, we're a week out. My feet have not touched the ground yet. I'm curious about you guys.
I'm still on cloud nine, and I don't think I've come back one inch toward Earth. I'm still way up there, riding the wave.
Yeah, definitely. Seemingly every day I'm talking to somebody or people are getting in touch with me. And I'm sharing the experiences of the journey, and it doesn't seem like it's going to stop anytime soon, which I think is kind of cool.
It just still doesn't really feel real, but I guess the first time that it did was on Sunday night when Fox aired that commercial during the Cowboys game, and I kid you not, I was tearing up in the nail salon. I was like, oh my gosh, it's starting to feel more real. This is amazing, and just has been such a fun ride to be a part of. But Jared, what about you?
Yeah, no, I was telling someone, I was actually talking to Bobby Wilson. I wanted to congratulate him because for yet another year, one of his catching students has won a gold glove in Jonah Heim. And I guess he could make it back-to-back years with a platinum glove winner. I just think Bobby does such a tremendous job. But I was speaking to Bobby and I said, you know, you have these big moments that you, I guess in this case, you don't know for sure it's going to happen, but like, you know, whether it's a wedding or like to, you know, for me, when I was really young, my bar mitzvah, it's like these things that they get built out to be these big events and they come and they go. And not that my wedding and bar mitzvah are not special, but it's like it happens and then it's over and you wake up the next day and it's just like life continues. But this has not been that. And maybe that's all up here in my head, but like, this has not been a letdown in any way, shape, or form. There's been nothing about this experience that has been unfulfilling or disappointing. For as much as it was built up, for, you know, as much as, you know, we were excited for it to happen, there is nothing about it to me that has been unfulfilling. I still am on cloud nine, like Eric said and Matt said. I love every opportunity to talk about it. And I don't mean that in an obnoxious way, but the reality is there's a good chance that this doesn't happen ever again. There's a good chance it happens. I mean, I don't know if good chance, but it could happen next year. It could happen 2 years from now. It could not happen for another 30 years. And I want to make sure that I don't miss out on any opportunity to enjoy this as much as possible.
Jared, it's funny you mentioned your wedding, because I got married in May, as we all know, and my goal for the year was to get two rings in 2023, and I knew that one was guaranteed and one was not, and the fact that I ended up getting two rings in 2023 is just so exciting and just truly so happy for the players and the fans, and especially you guys as well, too, because you know the team so well inside and out. You dedicate your whole lives to Rangers baseball, and it all paid off, and we all got a ring.
That's right. Absolutely. Hey, so Eric and Matt, I would like to ask you guys, I was not in the booth in the ninth inning. So the way it works, you know, Eric and Matt kick me out of the booth in the ninth inning every game because they feel like I'm bad luck and I have to go sit in the corner and then I'm only allowed back in. No, I'm just kidding. So in the playoffs, we do a walk-off interview. And so I go down, not like this is unlike the regular season, but I go down into the tunnel of whatever ballpark we're in, if the team is in a position to win, or in the case of game one of the World Series, it is within reason that they could come back, which obviously they did. And so I wasn't in the booth, and I'm just curious. I've heard the call, and I mean, I've told you guys absolutely nailed it, Eric. I'm so thankful you got the opportunity to have that call plastered all over the story of this franchise forever now. But what was that ninth inning like? And I guess let's start from the top of the ninth, when it went from a one-run game to a five-run game, and it kind of seemed like, all right, this is going to happen. And then into the bottom of the ninth, when you're just kind of awaiting crossing the finish line.
Yeah, it was super tense going into the top of the ninth inning when it was 1-0. And, you know, we're both, I think, assuming that Jose Leclerc is going to come in and pitch the bottom of the ninth inning. And then in the top of the inning, you know, you've got that hit by Jonah that then gets misplayed in center field and two runs score. And all of a sudden it's a 3-0 game. And there's, you know, a feeling of relief there. But still, given the history of the Rangers, 3-0 is, you know, it's not a sure thing. But then when Marcus hits the two-run homer, and I likened it to Ian Kinsler hitting the ninth inning two-run homer in Tampa, the first time the Rangers ever won a playoff series in game five, you know, the deciding winner-take-all game. Ian hit a two-run homer in the ninth that took it from, I think, 3-1 at that time to 5-1. It was the same sort of thing. And then all of a sudden, you know, we're winning this game. And then in the middle of the ninth inning, you know, then I'm starting to think seriously about, you know, what I'm going to say and how I'm going to keep my emotions together, you know, when the Rangers win, not if the Rangers win. And so that was, you know, that's kind of how the top of the ninth went. What was that like for you, Matt?
Well, for me, I kind of had a feeling all day we were going to win regardless. And I know that in the, you know, the first six innings, there was nervousness throughout because of all of the base runners for Arizona, and we didn't have any. But then we got that run on Mitch Garver's hit in the seventh and took the lead. And I kind of felt then, and I know what all the history is, but I don't think that was anything that that this team, I don't think it was a burden that these players were carrying. And I just kind of felt there it was when Mitch got the hit. And so then everything that happened in the ninth was just like, I just kept in, you know, I got to keep my mouth shut because Eric's doing the play-by-play. And so for me, I had to keep reminding myself, don't yell, don't scream, don't get too excited here. Do not step on Eric's call. And it sounds like, well, obviously, duh. But when those events were happening, when those plays were happening, and especially when Alec Thomas overran that ball in center field, I wanted to leap out of my seat and scream. But I had to keep reminding myself, be quiet, let the call come, you know, and then, you know, and I've still got to do my job. I've got to be able to see what's happening and analyze after Eric's done with the call. So I just kept getting more excited and more excited, but I kind of felt like it was a W when Mitch got that hit in the seventh.
Eric, I want to go back to the moment of the call happening, and Levi Weaver had a beautiful article that he wrote about you and this whole experience and your preparation. But for those listeners who might have not read that article, how much preparation goes into it and how much emotion just being in that moment happens at the same time?
Yeah, in terms of the preparation, Levi took me to breakfast that morning, the morning of game five. And really, from the time we won game four the night before, I had this strong feeling, like Matt did, that, you know, the Rangers are going to win the World Series, you know, whether it's in game five, six, or seven, you know, we're winning this thing. And there really was no longer any serious doubt in my mind. But when Levi took me to breakfast that morning and started asking me questions about, you know, what the call is going to be like, I felt like I was in a dream at that point. You know, almost like as if we'd already won. You know, he was kind of taking me to that moment ahead of time. And so all day I felt like I was in a dream, and it dawned on me at some point during the day, you know, I should say, as part of the call, you know, tell Ranger fans that they're not dreaming, because I'm sure they were feeling the same way and would certainly feel that way once the game ended. And so I wrote down on a piece of Arizona Biltmore notepaper, "Ranger fans, you're not dreaming." And I carried that with me all day, and I stuck it in the back of my scorebook. And once the Rangers took the lead in between innings, you know, I looked back at it. I looked at it, and I kept reminding myself, not only that I'm not dreaming, but that I need to say that as part of the call.
Spores kicks and fires. He struck him out looking. It's over. It's over. The Rangers have won the World Series. Ranger fans, you're not dreaming. The Rangers are the World Series champions. After 52 years in Texas, 63 years of the franchise, the wait is over. And the celebration has begun.
The rest of the call just kind of came out, and I knew I'd mention at some point in there, you know, the 52 years that we'd waited as Texas Ranger fans, but I had no idea how much emotion there would be, you know, when it actually happened, especially since it was kind of a fait accompli when it was 5-0 going into the bottom of the ninth. And it was a matter of, at that point, you know, just how much drama, if any, there'd be in the bottom of the ninth inning. And fortunately, you know, there wasn't any, you know, they didn't get any base runners, and it ended on a strikeout, which is probably the best way for it to end, you know, for an announcer there, because it's a nice clean call. And then you can get right into, you know, the lead, the big story, the Rangers have won the World Series. But, you know, I'm really thankful to Levi for the way he wrote that story in The Athletic, and the fact that he had come in. He had asked me at the breakfast, are you okay with my coming in the ninth inning and videoing you as you do the call? And I said, yeah, you know, I won't even notice you're there. And so he did that. And, you know, it wasn't until I saw the video that I realized just how much emotion I had expended, both mentally and physically, you know, in doing the call. And I'm just grateful I didn't screw it up.
Hey, partner, I'm glad you didn't break your hand on the Simeon home run.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I jumped out of my chair on that one.
He threw both hands up in the air, and the glass window that is normally closed, you know, when they're not doing games, is ratcheted above us. And so he stood and he threw his hands up in the air and hit that glass window pretty hard. It was easy to hear in the booth, and I was concerned that maybe he had broken a bone there.
That's way different than the pounding on the table or whatever last time we were in Arizona when the team was just mired in this slump and losing close games and extra innings, and kind of full circle in that regard, I guess.
Yeah.
Hey, Eric, how did you – well, Matt, I have a quick question on your – so the first thing you said after Eric's call, you mentioned the time. Was that at all Vin Scully an homage to Vin Scully, because he used to always do that. He would tag big moments and You know, 922 in the City of Angels, were one strike away from a no hitter. Like, was that, where did that come from? Because you
actually, I wasn't. I know that Vin did that. It wasn't on my mind. What happens every game? You know this. When the game ends, I punch my phone to see what the time is, so that I can write it down in my book, the end time of the game. And so I punched my phone, and it was straight up 8 o'clock. And so that struck me. I think if it had been 8:01 or 8:03, I don't think I would have said anything about the time. But it was 8 o'clock, and so that just kind of hit me that it was right at the top of the hour. And so that's why I launched into it. And then it wasn't until afterwards that I thought, you know, I think Vin did a call or two like this. But I wasn't thinking about it at the time. So like I said, if it had been any other time other than straight up 8 o'clock, I don't think I would have said that.
Straight up 8 o'clock in the Mountain Standard Time Zone, 11 o'clock on the East Coast, 10 o'clock back home in Texas. Josh Spores wraps it up, and the Rangers are your World Series champions. Can you believe it? Wow.
May the ghosts of 2011 be forever erased.
Eric, I know you did the call in 2011, and obviously I'm sure that emotion was much different. We don't have to talk about it, but now there are new and happy memories. Does this big win allow you to process the World Series in 2011 a little bit differently?
Yeah, absolutely, Hannah. I can actually hear the name David Freese now without getting sick to my stomach. I can actually see a golf sign without feeling queasy. And somebody sent me a video today that had a montage of Ranger highlights over the years, in addition to the highlights of the World Series. Somebody posted it on Facebook, and it's just brilliant. But it includes a picture of Nelson Cruz not catching that ball at the golf sign in St. Louis. And I'm actually curious now. I haven't actually done it yet, but I'm curious now to go back and watch that play for the first time since the night it happened. You know, maybe even listen to my call for the first time since it happened. And since so many people have told me that's the best baseball game they've ever seen, maybe at some point sit down and watch the whole game and just try and appreciate, you know, the greatness of that game, even though the Rangers wound up losing. That all happened the moment the final out was recorded in Arizona and the Rangers had become World Series champions. And all of a sudden, you know, that weight was lifted off my shoulders. My friend Dan Byrne has a song called When My Buckner Moment Comes, you know, a reference to the ball through Bill Buckner's leg. And, you know, it kind of has a dual meaning. It's my Buckner moment, you know, when I'm the guy who commits the error that causes some bad stuff. But it's also when you're able to release that moment and forgive Bill Buckner. And so in a way, you know, that was kind of my Buckner moment when the Rangers won the World Series. And you know, Nelson Cruz and David Freese and everybody else involved in how that happened, you know, everybody's okay now in my mind.
You know, I'm curious, and we don't have the answers to this, but I was texting with David Murphy, and I made a point to reach out to some of the guys that we've gotten to know who are part of that 2011 team, guys who are connected to the organization. So Murph on the broadcast side, Michael Young and Ian Kinsler on the front office side, you know, Adrian Beltre was in Arizona, which was really cool. And I hope that those guys, I mean, Ian went on and won a World Series with Boston. And I always, the story that Mitch Moreland always shares that, you know, in the ninth inning, neither of them were in the game and they were in the dugout and they made a point to stand next to one another because of their shared experience in 2011. That to me was so cool, but Ian won one, the other guys, they didn't. And I hope that they feel some sort of closure or relief or I just maybe some sort of part in winning the World Series. And now that this organization has one, and I also wonder how Nelson Cruz processed it, because a lot of those guys don't blame Nelson Cruz. And the reality is the Rangers might not have gotten to that point without him. And I think some of the animosity from folks, not necessarily fans, I think for fans, they associate Nelson Cruz with 2011. I think for some people who maybe in the organization had animosity, it was what happened later on with the steroid stuff and the suspension and how that all went down. But I hope that for Nelson Cruz, there's a weight lifted off his shoulders, if one existed. But I'm curious how he processed what went down last week, just because of his connection to 2011, his direct connection to it.
Hey, Eric, we should share the moment that we had on the plane when we were waiting to take off from Phoenix to fly home the day after the World Series, and we're both on our phones, and you look at the bit of news that had that come across about Nelson Cruz.
Yeah, so Matt and I are looking at our phones, and it comes across Nelson Cruz has announced his retirement from baseball. And I would imagine that, you know, he was just waiting for the World Series to end, regardless how it turned out. But there just seems to be some sort of synchronicity in the timing of that. And, you know, and we love Nelly. You know, he's one of the greatest guys to ever play for the Rangers. You know, a tremendously charitable, philanthropic guy, you know, the nicest guy you could ever talk to. And, but the timing of that was just so unusual.
Yeah.
Well, okay. And we got questions from fans we want to get to, but obviously we're all going to remember game five. We're going to remember this team actually winning the World Series. And I'd go so far as to say that I think we'll always remember game one, because those two home runs, for my money, now become the two biggest home runs maybe in franchise history. The Seager game-tying homer, the Adolis walk-off. But what were some of your memories throughout the run that might not be top of mind for people, but either to you, you hope you never forget, or you hope that fans don't forget as they get lost in the euphoria of what all went down?
Why don't you go first, Matt?
You know, for me, in the whole run, obviously what really stands out, which I don't think will ever be done again, is the fact that this team went 11-0 on the road in the postseason. Didn't lose a game, you know, for a team that was a handful of games under 500 on the road during the regular season. To be able to do what they did on the road and the way they did it was amazing. But in terms of, like, maybe satisfaction or games that kind of stick out to me are game 6 and 7 of the league championship series in Houston, and the way all of that developed, and the incredible hostility from Houston fans toward Adolis Garcia. You know, and in game 6, he strikes out 4 times, but then his 5th time up hits that home run. And then for him to drive in 5 runs in game 7, and lead the Rangers to the kind of win that they had there to take the club to the World Series. Those two games really stand out for me.
And I go back to the first couple of series in Tampa and in Baltimore, you know, which obviously they're the farthest back and the shorter series and seem to have faded from people's minds. But the games that Jordan Montgomery and Nathan Eovaldi pitched in those series really stand out. The Mitch Garver home run in Baltimore with Matt's "Can You Take Me Higher" call, to me, that was definitely one of the highlights of the postseason that I'll never forget. And, you know, coming back from, I remember coming back from Baltimore with a 2-0 lead, you know, and that's when I really started feeling that, you know, this team's going to go to the World Series. They're going to have to get through the Astros, but this team's going to go to the World Series. And it was winning those 2 games in Baltimore that really kind of gave me that feeling.
I want to talk to you guys about the parade, because all 3 of you got to be on the broadcasters and family float, and it was so fun watching you guys go by, but would just love your perspective and overall experience about getting to do the parade all together. You guys spend so much time together, but just how special was being a part of that parade on the same float?
Yeah, that was, it was really emotional for me. You know, being together with Matt and Jared, and, you know, John Blake had asked me the day before, he said, you know, there's two floats you could be on. You could be on the float with the members of the Texas Rangers Hall of Fame, or you could be on the float with the broadcasters and their families. And I told him, you know, I'd rather be with my partners. You know, I went through it all year. They, you know, they covered for me for 4 months, you know, while I was unable to work this year. You know, I want to ride with my brothers there, and to ride with them and see the joy on people's faces as we went through, the delirious joy on people's faces, was really moving. It was a very powerful experience to see how much the Rangers mean to so many people, you know. And then later, I knew I wasn't going to get out of the parking lot for a couple of hours. So after the ceremony, I just waited around and talked to people outside the ballpark and heard their stories about how far they drove. And, you know, this couple drove from Corpus Christi and these guys came from Oklahoma, and heard all those other stories. And it really reinforced how important we are, both as a baseball team and as a broadcast team, to people's life experiences. And that was, it was really moving, very, very powerful emotionally.
I'm glad you were on the float with us. Thanks. But you were on the left front and I was on the right side. And I'm kind of glad that we weren't together, because I don't know if I could have kept it together if we'd been sitting next to one another. But one of the things that struck me as we were going by, and, you know, you said it, Eric, the joy on people's faces, the absolute unbridled joy. What struck me was the diversity of people that showed up, and not only the number of people, but just the variety of people and how much fun they were all having. And it brought to mind the fact that sports has the capability of bringing people together. And in a time in which we're divided in a number of ways, for that moment, for the course of the parade, so many people came together to share in one experience. And that just kept coming to me as we kept making right turns all throughout that parade.
Yeah, that was, I agree with everything you guys said. And Eric, I think I said this to you. I know I said it on air, and I told Matt, it was really cool just looking at Eric during the parade. And I mean, I don't know that I've ever seen you smile wider for as long. I kind of worried for your cheeks. I don't know. You're giving your cheeks like this big workout, because it was a permanent smile. And I think we all kind of had similar emotions, but knowing how long you've waited for this moment. And again, this moment was never guaranteed. And I said this on air that night, that it definitely was in the minds of all of us that you would never get to experience this. And I know it was in your mind. And I'm sure it very much was in your mind in 2021 when this team was losing 100 games. And then last year when this team lost 90 games. And so I think that for me, that was also something that was really cool. Just taking a second when I wasn't shaking Matt and screaming to the fans, let's go, and throwing the Cracker Jacks. Was just taking a second to look at Emily. And by the way, I feel bad. Eleno and Jose Guzman and their families were on our float. I hope we didn't ruin the experience for them. They seemed so calm in the back. They were just sitting there. We were like going nuts. It was.
I think Eleno has to stay calm after his heart attack this year, but it must have been difficult for him.
Yeah, for sure. Well, we're going to get to some fan questions, but first, the unforgettable flavor is back. We want everyone to go to Whataburger and try a chili cheeseburger today, available at your local Whataburger.
The white chocolate raspberry shake at Whataburger has returned, available for a limited time.
Hey, we got some questions. I'm going to let Hannah start with the Instagram questions, because those are a little more hard hitting, and then we'll get to some questions on Twitter.
All right. First up, from Landing_27 Drake, for all of you, I guess, what was the best part of the postseason run?
Well, for me, it was making the final call. You know, as much as the ride was tremendously enjoyable, the finale was the moment that, you know, that I'll never forget. People ask me all the time, what's your favorite call you've ever made? And of course, it was the Neftali Feliz strikeout of A-Rod to win the Rangers' first pennant. Well, that's been certainly bumped from the top spot.
Obviously, clearly, the finale of Game 5 is the pinnacle of it all. But just it's really, really hard to pick out any individual moments because there were so many good moments throughout this postseason. I know that's not much of an answer, but it was so much fun from Game 1 all the way through.
Jared?
Gosh, the I thought I was getting off easy by not having to answer it. The one moment. I mean, I think
sprayed by champagne.
Yeah, I mean, those moments, you know, after each of those celebrations, I definitely don't take it for granted. Just getting to see that up close. But if I were to give a different spin, just because of how much you two mean to me, I think getting back up to the booth afterwards and just getting to hug you guys and sharing that with you. Is something I'll cherish forever. Just because we are our own team within the team. And it was also cool, not that anyone listening probably cares that much, but it was cool to have Walt Ellis as our engineer. If we're not going to have our primary engineer, Ken Mendez, there, because Ken doesn't travel, Walt Ellis does a lot of our spring training games. And so we, you know, Walt's not just some random guy who's, you know, getting paid to be there. I mean, he's getting paid to be there, but you know, he's someone we've known. I mean, Eric, how long has Walt been doing spring training games for us?
Well, pretty much since the time we got to Arizona, I think.
That's 20, you know, yeah.
I mean, 2003, maybe.
It's a long time. And I think
2004.
Walt, you guys might feel similarly or differently. I think Walt likes sports just fine. You know, most engineers, they're not necessarily the biggest sports fans. It's just kind of a job for them. I think Walt felt like it was cool that he got to be a part of this because of the connection to the Rangers. Like it's not, he's more than just some mercenary for hire. And so that it was cool to be able to share with you two and also to have Walt there. That was really neat.
You're right. He actually got emotional too. That was kind of cool to see.
Yeah.
All right. Next question for Matt and Eric. This one's from Jack Nels 07 on Instagram. What was your favorite home run call from the postseason?
Well, probably Mitch's home run in Baltimore, which of course part of the credit certainly goes to Jared for unearthing the whole Creed in the clubhouse with his interview with Andrew Heaney, which was on the pregame show that day. And I know that a part of what Jared wanted us to do was just to be aware of it, just to mention it so that we would have fans sort of latch onto that when we came back for game 3 against the Orioles. But I thought, you know, if there's a way to work it into the broadcast during a call, you know, it had to be right. It had to be the right moment. And it all just kind of came together there. So the fact that I was able to work that in and it be somewhat seamless was pretty special.
Yeah. That's a tough one for me. You know, there are three, the Corey Seager home run that tied game 1, Adolis home run that won game 1 of the World Series, and the Mitch Garver, the Marcus Semien home run, you know, in game 5 that clinched that victory. But if I had to pick one, I'd probably pick Corey's. You know, where we work in Globe Life Field, you know, there are a lot of home runs, including the Adolis home run, that we don't know are home runs when they come off the bat. But the ball that Corey Seager hit was probably the most easily identified as a home run of any ball that's been hit since the Rangers moved into Globe Life Field. And the combination of it being, you know, such a no-doubter and tying the game in the ninth inning probably elevates it to number one status in my mind.
All right, you guys ready for some hard-hitting Twitter questions?
Here we go.
Let's go.
All right, this one from Brian. How was this season – I think he means how has this season impacted each of you on a personal level?
Well, for me – given the fact that I wasn't able to work the first 4 months of the season, it has just given me so much gratitude that I was able to come back and work that Matt and Jared did such an incredible job in my absence that there was no pressure on me, you know, to come back sooner than I was ready. And then gratitude to have had the opportunity to go through a run like the Rangers did, you know, wind up on top and wind up winning the World Series. So I think I'm more consciously aware of being grateful every day. And then, as we've already discussed, you know, being on cloud nine for a whole week and riding the wave, and who knows when that's ever going to end. I talked to a couple of guys yesterday whose teams have won the World Series for the first time during their lifetime. And, you know, I've been assured that this isn't going away anytime soon, that we're going to be feeling this way for a long time, maybe all the way through next season.
Yeah, I certainly agree with all of that. And as you were talking, I was thinking about what you said there at the end, that this isn't anywhere near being over, and it will continue to impact us for quite some time. I can tell you that I've had relatives send me food, which doesn't usually happen after any season. And yesterday I opened up a box that was on our doorstep, and you guys will be happy to know it was full of soup. So
Matt loves soup, just in case people are unaware.
So there's that impact that we've got going on, which is nice. But it has been such a neat season where I think it's kind of helped to bring us all a little bit closer together. And you know, that's if that's the one benefit to winning this World Series, I'm fine with that.
All right, then we got one more and then a quick one after. But this one from Philip on Twitter. Other than the Rangers winning the World Series, what was your favorite thing that happened this season? And I'm going to just – let's go regular season. We've talked so much about the postseason, but without the regular season, you don't get there. So what was your favorite regular season moment?
Wow.
I'll stall. I'll give you a quick answer, and I'll stall for you guys. For me, even though there were ups and downs thereafter, walking out of Houston, that very first series in Houston, winning that game, I think it was on Sunday night, I'm not sure, but winning that game and winning a series in Houston for the first time in forever, there was a feeling for me that, okay, this team is legit. And so that's a moment that will always stick with me, just the feeling of going to Houston and winning that series the first time these two teams met this year.
Yeah, I would say, just again, not being prepared for that question and just thinking about it right now, the first thing that popped into mind was the 4-game sweep of the Blue Jays in Toronto, and how that at that time of the year felt like, again, against a team with a great offense, they've had great starting pitching, for the Rangers to go in there and perform like they did in Toronto kind of gave me the feeling like, well, this is something that could be special.
Yeah. And I'll go with the more obvious answer, the game the day, the next to the last day of the season, where the Rangers ensured they would be in the postseason after losing the first two games in Seattle to actually win that game. And, you know, do it with their combination of Andrew Heaney and Dane Dunning. Was very special for me to know that we would be back in the postseason for the first time since 2016.
All right, last question, and we're going to all answer at the same time. Hannah and I are going to guess. You guys obviously know the answers, but the question from Rob: who does Jared annoy the most? So on the count of three, we're either going to say Matt or Eric. All right, ready? 1, 2, 3.
Matt.
I'm glad that Matt knows the answer to that. Guys, there are more questions on Twitter, but we only have time for those. So appreciate you guys joining us. Eric's got to go run. I think Eric's running for mayor now. Is that what's happening?
I'm going to City Hall, apparently, with the trophy and Josh Spores and Ray Davis and Neil Liebman, Ranger Hall of Famer Jim Sundberg, and some other members of a Ranger contingent to take the trophy to the Dallas City Council. You know, having lived in Dallas since 1976, you know, I get the honor of emceeing the ceremony. And the only other time I've talked to the Dallas City Council, I was begging them to change the leash laws so we could have our first leash-free dog park. And now some 24 years later, they've let me talk to the city council again.
That's amazing. Well, thank you guys so much for joining us. And Hannah, thank you for your patience with me. I know we all answered that I annoy Matt the most, but you might be second.
I gotta be honest, you don't annoy me at all, but I kind of waited to hear what like the first syllable was gonna be, and then I just chimed in, so I wasn't the opposite.
Well, this is a special bonus episode of the Straight Up Texas podcast. We are going to have a final episode coming up. It'll be recorded this weekend and released early next week with World Series champion, Gold Glove Award winner, past Silver Slugger Award winner, Nathaniel Lowe. So it'll be very interesting and exciting to hear his thoughts. But Eric and Matt, thank you guys so much for another wonderful year of Rangers baseball. And maybe we can run this back next year.
Thanks for having us.
Sounds good. Thank you.
All right. Well, for Hannah and the rest of our team with the Rangers, Tim and Maddie and the crew, just want to say thank you all, and hope you are still on cloud nine like all of us are, listening to us talk about the Rangers as World Series champions, and more to come with Nathaniel Lowe next week. But that's going to do it for us. Have a great rest of your day.